It occurred to me on this feast day of Saint Jerome to try to work with these texts. It just so happens that every one of them has got to do with repentance. It doesn't often happen that all, because these readings are following each their own cycle. We're in the minor prophets in the first reading. We have Baruch today. The psalm always reflects the reading and leads into the gospel. That's hard work, to find a psalm that will do that. And then the reading is following a regular cycle. We're in the Gospel of Luke. See, today we're reading in chapter 10. Yesterday we did the first part of chapter 10, verses 1 to 12, when Jesus sends out the 72. Now it's sort of a continuation of that, which means we're in that part of Luke which is called the Perean Journey. It's when Luke recounts that our Lord went across the Jordan. Perea in Greek means across, the other side. Then all the way down to Jericho on the Jordanian side of the... He probably did that because, to avoid, as Luke has said it. Of course, the other synoptics don't do that. They go, but he goes over, but he comes back, you know. All right, now. And Luke uses that place in there from chapter, almost chapter 9 down to 18. Most of the material in Luke that is proper to him is in that section called the Perean section. But I thought, now if Jerome, Saint Jerome, you see, were reading this, what would he be doing, you see? Well, there's a peculiarity or a very special thing about Scripture that's no other writing in the world. It has the capacity to have the Holy Spirit be using it to impress on our spirit the realities. It's not just a book. You see, it's the Word of God. And so, what one does when one is reading is search for that reality there, not just the words, and pray that the Holy Spirit will impress that reality upon us, okay? So the first text from Baruch is a model of repentance. But what we want to have happen to us is that reality of repentance, right? I'm very glad Baruch repented, and he did so in the name of the people, and that's great. But what about us repenting now, today, in the power of this word, saying this word to God, because it's at work in our heart. We can't do that. That's the Holy Spirit. But see, that is the specificity of the Scriptures. Huh? Justice is with the Lord our God, and we today are flushed with shame. We men of Judah and citizens of Jerusalem, we members of the Roman Catholic Church, that we with our kings and rulers, our popes and bishops, and priests and prophets, and with our ancestors, have sinned in the Lord's sight and disobeyed Him. Now can you let that reality take over in your heart? This is the Word of God, you see? We have neither heeded the voice of the Lord our God, nor follow the precepts which the Lord set before us. Let these words come into us so that they take root in our spirit and return to God from us. See, that's what Jerome would do. And he'd ponder this and sit in his little cave in Jerusalem and work on this. And he went and learned Hebrew and Aramaic so he could read it. And he went and learned it from the rabbis, because who else knows it? You see? From the time the Lord led our ancestors out of the land of Egypt until the present day, we have been disobedient to the Lord our God and only too ready to disregard his voice. Now you can get all worked up over this, but it's your own emotions. You see, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about feeling, spiritually feeling, this repentance and being able to let the Holy Spirit bring us into this repentance. Huh? And the evils and the curse that the Lord enjoined upon Moses, that's all the latter chapters of the book of Deuteronomy, at the time he led our ancestors forth from the land of Egypt to give us the land flowing with milk and honey, these evils cling to us today. They do. Why is not the Catholic Church the largest single one body of Christians, even in this country, able to put up its hand and say, stop. Stop the abortion. You know, stop the mad craze for money. Stop the persecution of the poor. You know, stop all your folly planning on running a world government and having power. Stop! Because we don't repent. You see? For we did not hear the voice of the Lord our God in all the words of the prophets. We didn't pay much attention to Mother Cabrini when she was helping the poor. You see, we didn't listen to Fulton Sheen. We didn't, you know, we're too busy. We've had prophets in our midst. Certainly we've had them in the whole church. Look at Mother Teresa. The voice of Christ, the body of Christ, here, taking care of the poor. Send her $5 and forget about it. You see? These words have to do this, not my own guilt feelings, you see? But each of us went off after the devices of his own wicked heart, served other gods, and did evil in the sight of the Lord our God. These are realities, is what I'm trying to say. And those realities have to penetrate our heart. Well, how many times do you have to read it? 10, 12, 15? I don't know. Until that reality is being impressed on your spirit, and in your spirit you are praying this and having your life changed. See, that's... So if Jerome had to preach this morning, he would have been up pondering this and repenting. Otherwise, how can you preach on it? Tell everybody else to repent? And then, you see, they pick a psalm, Psalm 79, and it's all about the suffering of the people. The nations have come. That's the Gentiles, right? The Goyim have come into our inheritance. They have defiled your holy temple. They destroyed it. They burned it. They've laid Jerusalem in ruins. They've given the corpses of your servants as food to the birds of heaven, the flesh of your faithful ones to the beasts of the earth. Oh, isn't this what goes on in Sudan? You see, until the reality of our evil is impressed upon us in the light of God's mercy, these texts are not doing their job in our life. That means you got to work at it. Now you get this text here, okay? First you have the little hallelujah verse which alerts you, if today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. See, now Jerome would have to ponder this till the reality is in his heart. So that when he stands there or when he's writing his book or whatever he's doing, you see, it's the living and powerful Word of God, the only thing like it in the world. St. Thomas tells us, you know, all other writings can feed the mind. This writing feeds the soul. It's not the same. How do I get to know that? Work at it. You want a promotion? You got to work. You want to get into the text, you got to work. It's not devotion, it's fire. So then we have this text. Oh, I only got 2 minutes left. This is Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. I've stood there and looked out over the northern end of Capernaum and read this text. Woe to you, Bethsaida. All you see as you look across is a flat, big, you know, tract of land where Bethsaida was, but isn't anymore. Why? Because you didn't repent when you had the chance. I am the living Word of God. I stood in your midst and I taught you, and you blocked it. Might have been semi-unconscious, it might have been, you know, but you blocked it. And what about you, Capernaum? You're so proud that this great preacher, myself, lives, makes his home with you. Will you be exalted to heaven? No. You see, so I've talked to you about Bethsaida. I should have also mentioned Chorazin. You're standing there looking out across this lake. Up that way there's a mountain, little mountain. In the middle of that mountain was Chorazin. Now the Israeli Exploration Society is digging it up as an archaeological curio. It's gone. The Word of God is not abstract. And about you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven because the Messiah walked in your midst? He taught in your midst? He did miracles? No. You'll go down to the netherworld. To this day, that place is in ruins. To this day. You see? Well, what are we supposed to do? The Lord says, look, it's pretty simple. Whoever listens to you, meaning to the apostles, to the ones sent, even to the preachers today, if anybody will listen to you, they're listening to me. You see what this function is? It's not an exposition of the text. It's a delivery of the word of Christ. Anybody who listens to you, listens to me. You see? And whoever rejects you, rejects me. Whew. So some wise guy people in one of the dioceses, the bishop is trying to get them all to get ready for the new liturgy and to pray and to be ready, and they're sitting there blowing it off. They're blowing Christ off. That has to be a reality to us. You see, this is what I mean. It might take hours for that reality to penetrate us. But when it does, it takes your breath away. Oh, I'm rejecting Christ. That's not enough. Whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me. You want to stand before God the Father and have him say, why did you reject me? Oh, I was too busy. It was a sale at Macy's, you know. This is what Jerome's life was, you see. Ponder, ponder, ponder. Learn the languages. Not everybody's supposed to do that. That's a service in the church, like lots of services, caring for the poor. You see? But that's what this work is. Now we have all sorts of new equipment and new historical information, and that's wonderful. But nothing can replace the living and active Word of God that will enter your heart and let that reality become part of you. And then, when you speak about it, you see, you're being sent by the Lord. I thought you might be interested in that. But you see, it's work. It's work. Reading scripture is not like reading a devotional book. You got fire in between your hands. And let that fire come in and change you. And if it's not doing that, stop and say, Lord, I'm not moving from this chair until you do something. I live by your word or I die without it. Okay.